Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown us your peace by sending us your only Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, though we, through our sin, react with violence, anxiety, agitation, all those other human emotions, your Son has shown us the way to peace, and that is life with you. So Lord, we who have received this wonderful blessing and gift, strengthen us that we might take your peace out into the world so that others may come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Lord, pour in your holy word now, anchor it by your Holy Spirit deep within our spirit. Lord, that your word may bear much fruit by the words that come from our mouths and the actions in our lives. And Lord, at our last breath, receive us into your open arms, where we will live with you forever in heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, if the horrible events of the world leave us heartbroken and weeping, imagine what God must be seeing and feeling. God, the Creator, who entrusts us with his creation and with one another's lives. Today, the Creator and the created stand together weeping and broken-hearted. The tragedies that surround us are only the symptoms of a much deeper issue. The deeper issue is the human heart. Whether by a terrorist attack through prejudice and discrimination, in our political campaigns or in our personal relationships, the violence and mistreatment we perpetrate on each other arise first from an inner violence that poisons and fragments the human heart. We need a change of heart. We need a heart at peace. Sadly, we often reject invitations for self-reflection and seek to divert attention away from ourselves by asking, where is the peace of God today? Where is God in all of this mess? Let's not project our failings and imperfections onto God, or expect God to fix everything. The problems are ours, and the blood of the victims, the tears of the mourners, and the pain of the world are crying and begging for an answer. Let's not use the same tired old excuses. Rather, let's try some new solutions. Let's number ourselves among the 70 sent to every town and place where Christ himself goes. Let's enter every house first saying peace to this house. Let's become people with hearts at peace, not at war. We all want peace. But I also think we struggle with what peace means, what it looks like, and how we find and keep it. If the events of today's world offer us anything, it's the opportunity to rethink what peace means and reorient our hearts. So let me ask you this. What does peace mean to you? What comes to mind when you think of peace? Anyone want to have a crack? Free for all here, you can speak. What do you think of when you think of peace? Contentment, okay, good word.
Happy.
Happiness, yep, okay.
Being in a restful place.
Being in a restful place, okay. Now, are you willing to let go of that understanding of peace and consider something else? Are you willing to pay the price for peace? I'm not asking about our willingness to risk the lives of our military personnel or increase the defence budget. I'm asking about our willingness to change our understanding and practice of peace. I think most of us have an understanding of peace that's too small and too narrow. I know I do. We limit peace to a particular set of behaviours, and they're usually the behaviours we expect from others. We think of peace as an ideal to be attained, and more often than not, we define it as the absence or elimination of conflict. We've convinced ourselves that peace will come when this person or that group changes or stops doing something. Ultimately, excuse me, we condition peace on our ability to change or control someone else. We let them determine whether our hearts are at peace or at war. That's both naive and it doesn't work. The reality is that we don't have the power to change other people. The reason we feel so powerless to do anything about our world's tragedies is because we are powerless to change others. Ultimately, the only person over whom we have any power or ability to change is ourselves. You and I are free to choose to live with a heart at peace or a heart at war. Jesus didn't send the 70 out to change the towns and places they went to, but to simply offer his peace. How often does Jesus instruct us to go and change other people? He doesn't. That's how we think, but it's not his way. Jesus spends a lot of time teaching us to change ourselves and our way of being towards others. That's the change of heart that's at the core of peace. The struggle for peace begins within ourselves. So what if a heart at peace is about loving our neighbour as ourselves? It would mean that the other person, regardless of who he or she is, counts and matters as much as we do. A heart at peace refuses to lump masses of unknown people into the numerous lifeless categories we concoct and make them problems to be dealt with or enemies to be defeated. That's our natural reaction, isn't it? We see something on the TV that really grinds against us and we get aggressive towards that position. I know I do. A heart at peace encounters another as a person, a fellow created in the same image. It looks at another heart and recognizes itself. What if a heart at peace is about loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us, turning the other cheek, giving our shirt to the one who has taken our coat, and doing to others as we would have them do to us? Are we willing to pay that price? Some days my answer is yes, and other days not so much. What if a heart at peace means being merciful and not judging? Failed again. Refusing to throw the first stone, or for that matter, any stone. And taking care of the log in my own eye rather than the speck in the eye of another. What if a heart at peace offers forgiveness, not 7 times, but 70 times 7? Are we willing to do that? What if a heart at peace means feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, and visiting the sick and imprisoned? Before we can ever do that, we must first regard the life, needs and desires of another person as, or even more important as, our own. What if a heart at peace means choosing not to become and act like a wolf when we stand in the midst of wolves? It means we must refuse to betray ourselves and refuse to vilify others. Peace doesn't begin with particular behaviours toward each other, but with our whole way of being toward each other. Seeing each other as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, brothers and sisters, family. This is a matter of the heart, your heart and my heart. If our hearts are at war, it makes no difference how polite or nice we are to each other. Violence lurks just beneath the surface. Offering the peace of Christ recognizes the dignity and value of another person's existence, irrespective of who they are. When Jesus sent out the 70, he didn't condition their offers of peace on who the recipients might be, their worthiness, what they've done, or what their response might be. Neither can we. Some will receive the peace and others won't. Either way, the kingdom of God has come near if our hearts are at peace. Peace of God isn't defined by the absence of conflict. It's a practice to be lived every moment of every day of our lives, a continual setting of our faces toward Jerusalem. Anyone studied that before? Do you know what Jerusalem means? What does Salem mean? Shalom. Peace. Jerusalem means the city of peace. That means practicing peace with our friends and family. It means practicing peace with our enemies. It means practicing peace with the stranger, with those who are different to us, and with those who scare us. As we engage others, we must first be well grounded in God's peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand why Jesus, a sinless man, went to the cross for a grub like me. But he did. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. I'll never get that. I'll never understand why, but I'm thankful that he did. God's shalom is more than being calm. It's confidence in God's abiding presence so that his creative, regenerative, life-giving and life-affirming presence is shared with others. Remember, it's God's presence that transforms lives and makes them holy. Practicing peace means not treating others as problems to sort out, but as sacred beings to whom we are called to introduce and share God's love. If they reject this peace, Jesus doesn't advise reactivity, scorn, or argument. Instead, he reassures his followers that their peace can't be taken away from them. It will return to you, Jesus says. When Jesus sent the 70, they went without a purse, bag, or sandals. They went without carrying personal baggage, feelings, emotions, judgments, and so on that would hold them back. They went out with their hearts at peace, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding and brings joy to those who receive it. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to bring peace to this house, promoting the gospel by loving our neighbour, and to have confidence that God is with us when he sends us out into the harvest. The kingdom of God has come near. These two things keep us focused on God's activity in the world, and they shield us from heartbreak and despair. Dear Christians, our chief joy is that God has received and accepted us, and that our names are written in heaven. We enjoy fellowship with Jesus and the Father. This is the good news that we have to share. So whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house, that God may dwell there also." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.